I'm Neil Wilkins, and welcome to the Mindful Living Show.
So as we can see, Twitter in 2020 is something very, very different to how it used to be some decade ago. There have been some ever-presence in the Twitter top 10 of highest followed celebrities and politicians and sports people. Very clearly, Katy Perry is the queen of Twitter and has been for pretty much the last decade, right up at the top there. But the ever-present Justin Bieber, probably coming there as a bit of a surprise for those who didn't realise that actually he has been around for that long. But that's kind of from a sort of a celebrity kind of popularity contest stakes. When it comes to Twitter for business, there is quite a different story, and that is something we are going to be exploring as we go through this session. So Twitter has kind of evolved and really sort of taken a bit of a metamorphosis, if you like, from what it really began out as. And the very, very first opening statement of Twitter when it first launched was, Twitter, what are you doing? And it was very much about sort of celebrating, I guess, what you're doing in the moment and very much sharing and showcasing stuff that you were about. And very much this was where the whole thing of people sharing what they're about to eat, sharing the fact that they just made a piece of toast or that they were going shopping, just that in the moment kind of thing. And of course, that has significantly gained in popularity as we've gone through the years with social media. And in lots of ways, Twitter really was the sort of the founding sort of present moment social network. Facebook and LinkedIn have, you know, had their own sort of part to play, obviously, in the massive growth of social media over the last 10, 15 years. But Twitter really took that whole piece about, you know, sharing the moment. And really now it's kind of evolved that into being much more than just kind of what are you doing, into actually what is happening in your world and what are people talking about in your world right now. So it isn't necessarily just the world in general. It's not just about people in general. The beauty of what you can do with Twitter is to look at a little microcosm, if you like, of your environment or your community or your sector or your marketplace, and then figure out what actually is happening there and choose whether or not you're going to respond and be part of that conversation. So Twitter's kind of evolved, if you like, in terms of being a lot more specific than just what are you up to, showcase it, to being much more about a conversation. And that is something that we'll explore as we go through this presentation. So as we know, as we've seen, you know, Katy Perry, really the leading light, if you like, in terms of, you know, kind of owning the Twitter space. A lot of other sort of celebrities, musicians and artists have kind of really sort of taken the sort of the simple concept of Twitter, which is about this, you know, sort of micro blogging, which was a phrase that was coined around about the birth of Twitter, for being something that you could do at a very kind of local level, at a very small bite-sized level, and actually begin to explore little bite-sized chunks of content and very much introduce this concept of drip feeding. And that has been something which certainly I've talked about over the years when I've talked about social media, is the fact that it isn't this kind of big burst of activity. It's something that you do, and you do it regularly, frequently, but you do it at a micro level. So you're not looking to over-engineer anything. You're not looking to necessarily overthink something. You're sharing the moment. You're sharing some relevance. You're sharing something that is a little bite-sized chunk that over time starts to build a big story about who and what you are. In the business sense, the organizations who have made the most gains, I guess, and have got the most traction over this kind of an approach have typically been the consumer brands, often led by gaming and fashion and sort of high street retail. These are the brands who have kind of taken that very visual element and really, really used their ability to drip feed content at a micro level. And this is something which has really scored very, very well. Some of the big brands who have very successfully used this over the years are the likes of Samsung, the likes of Xbox and PlayStation brands who, you know, everybody knows, everybody's heard of, but their brand profile has increasingly evolved in such a way that it isn't all about a big ad campaign where, you know, you're spending millions and millions of dollars to create that footprint. It's very much about little and often, so that over time you piece together the story that this brand is sharing with you. And again, very much in the fashion sense, obviously introducing particular fashion ranges related to particular seasons, but not doing it necessarily as a big fashion launch, but drip feeding collections and portfolios and this brand sort of tone of voice and style over time. So there is an essence really within Twitter of patience. I think a lot of the time people think, oh, it's a quick win, you know, because if it's only a few characters, I can do it quickly and then move on. It is about patience, and it is, as we'll see in a minute, it is very much about creating a strategy around what you do. And this is something which, again, if we sort of take a little step back into sort of celebrity and sort of influencer world, we've seen this from the likes of Justin Bieber. There's a screenshot here on the left-hand side of the screen, which was Justin Bieber 10 years ago, 2 million followers, and very much looking at this as just little bite-sized chunks of text, but actually creating almost like a sort of a little mini news feed, if you like, based around something that was almost like a little micro website, and that was very much what you could do back in the day. Things, as you can see from the right-hand side, have changed fundamentally. It now has a much more kind of Facebook feel to it, with a cover image, a short sort of biography, and then the timeline, which of course, as we know, is able to use multiple styles of media. Now, very much if you're not using video, and definitely if you're not using imagery, you are literally not seeing, you're almost invisible. So the old style of just purely little micro blogs of text is long since passed. And we can see that, you know, somebody like Justin Bieber and the brand that he has created, you know, has significantly moved on from, you know, for example, you know, getting a reach of some 2 million followers to over 112 million followers. But there's a lot of tweets and a lot of patience that have gone into this. So this is all about being very strategic in the way that you kind of create what it is you're looking to do. And we'll explore some of the ways you can create that strategy in a little while. When it comes to big consumer brands, a very successful brand who has really been in this for the long haul is a brand which we all know is Red Bull. Now, the really interesting thing about Red Bull is the way that they weave together a whole myriad of stories. They have, as you're probably aware, a lot of sponsored athletes, a lot of sponsored sort of artists and performers in a whole variety of different genres. And they use their Twitter account to weave together a really consistent story that tells the story of the people behind Red Bull. So not the people in the back office, but the people who are the sponsored performance artists, musicians, riders, surfers, drivers, who actually represent the brand. So there's a very much a people element coming into this. And you can see there's been, from the left-hand screen here, you know, which was very much a micro site that they had, into something that's very, very clean, very, very simple, but again, that had this real longevity to it. So it's about storytelling over time. So I would strongly encourage you, if you're thinking about maybe dabbling with Twitter, or maybe sort of upping the ante with the Twitter activity that you do, is think about this drip feed. That's the first key point here. And the second thing is to think about storytelling. What kinds of stories could we tell in little bite-sized chunks, not allowing ourselves, you know, the luxury of doing a big launch maybe, or something that has the opportunity for telling, you know, 1,000 words. We're looking at just a few words, some imagery and some video to tell a story over time. So multiple little bite-sized chunks of content that over time builds this kind of story and profile. Now, back when I took those original screenshots some 10 years ago, I was on the lookout for a brand that wasn't a big celebrity brand, wasn't anything necessarily particularly special, but that was actually doing things really, really right and correctly. And the brand that I found, and I went and had a look just a couple of days ago, just to see kind of how they'd sort of come along in those 10 years since. So on the left-hand side of the screen, you've got a brand called One Medical Group. who obviously, as you can see from the little screenshot that I took a couple of days ago, are still very, very much in business, still very, very much playing the patient game. On the left-hand side, and the reason why I felt at the time this was a brand who were a little bit special in what they were trying to do, and why they've had longevity and why they've successfully built a following that clearly has some resonance with the kinds of stories that they're telling, was that this is a medical practice in the US, which is very much built around private healthcare. Building brands in this space is obviously a very important thing to do because it's a very competitive space. So what One Medical Group did was they basically created not a brand that was all about helping you through illness, being a primary care group, but very much one around wellness. So rather than talking about all the services that they had and solely that, they described themselves as not your typical doctor's office, so a primary care group that was different. And by using the rule of third, so balancing a third about them and getting to know them, and you can see on the left-hand side some of the imagery around, you know, the waiting rooms and receptions and the consulting rooms, a little bit about sharing some third-party content, so great healthy recipes, some fitness and sort of lifestyle content, and then of course, you know, the overt sell interspersed amongst that, but balanced with some really added value content. So not necessarily just treating an illness, but actually treating and helping you to become well. And so for me, they just wove this lovely sort of holistic story and drip fed content. Now, I've never used the service. It almost kind of to me didn't really matter. It was just in a little kind of microcosm of how they were using Twitter. It just felt right. So when I had a look at them some 10 years later, a little screen grab on the right hand side, you can see that they are consistently still following that story over 10 years later. So primary care designed for real life. And I look back at some of the early tweets that they do, and they are still consistently following that rule of thirds. So for a health practice to have some 36,500 followers, that is quality use of Twitter. So again, what I'm encouraging you to do here is to think about balancing Twitter to story tell, but not just tell your story. Tell a story that's meaningful in little drip-fed bite-sized chunks to the audience that you're looking to communicate with. But where do you start to find that audience? Well, one of the early steps that you can take if you're looking to either build an initial audience and start to get some traction using Twitter, or if you've already got an account and you're looking to really fine-tune it, I'd strongly recommend that you use a service called Mention Map. So it's Mention Map, and the map word has two P's, so mentionmap.com. You can go to mentionmap.com and put in your Twitter account name. So for me, it's at Neil Wilkins X. And what it will do is it will create in front of you a little spider diagram that kind of evolves in front of your eyes that looks to see in almost real time how that account, so it could be yours, could be a competitor, could be an influencer in your sector, or could be anybody you choose, how that Twitter account is actually integrated in and amongst the community or the sector in which they are active. So it's a really interesting little view, if you like, of that particular account's community. And so if you look at mine here, you can see some of the other Twitter accounts that I've had some interaction with, or that I have retweeted or shared or had some conversation with, and vice versa. So the thickness of the lines that you can see there is the amount of interactions. So you can see, probably no surprise, that Cambridge Marketing College's at CMC Points of View has a lot of interaction with my account. So I do a lot of sharing and retweeting of their stuff and vice versa. Got Gary V in the mix there, Ollie Francis, who's a UX expert, and Kate Strong, who's a mindful sort of person in the HR consulting world. So, you know, there's people here potentially then, if you're using this for research, who can give you a little bit of a view and an insight into an audience that potentially you might also want to tap into. So if you were, for example, to use Twitter, not necessarily just for sharing and showcasing, but also for listening. And this is, again, going to be my next tip that I would give you for getting great value from Twitter, is to think of it predominantly for listening to your marketplace. So pop your Twitter account name into MentionLab and go and see kind of what interactivity you can find using it as a an interactive service. And then have a look at your competitors. Have a look at other influential people within your sector. Have a look at any journalists or media who write about your sector, any bloggers, any influencers, anybody who's in and around the sector that you're interested in, and see who is connected to who. And interestingly, who is using the hashtags? And again, you can see a couple of examples there, Mindful Business and hashtag podcast. See who is using specific hashtags, because a lot of these may give you an opportunity to identify topics that you'd like your tweets, if you were to use the same hashtags, to glue into and to gel with. So you can enter conversations, you can look to be part of the community by literally just doing the listening and then using some of these terms, some of these other accounts who are already having those conversations, to explore introducing you into the mix. So that would be my second recommendation, is very much about using it as a listening device as much, if not more, than using it as a publishing device. So you've set up your account, you've thought about the rule of thirds, you've started to plot out some kind of strategy for putting together a little bit of a content mix, and you've listened to the environment in which you are. So how do you then start to build your brand? Well, there was a very interesting joint exercise that HubSpot and Social Bro did, that they sponsored some research, some quite deep research, into best practice of how you both build the brand, but also create really powerful tweets and interaction that really, really works. So I would strongly recommend that you use the outputs from HubSpot and Social Bro's research, which is widely available on the internet if you want to do a deeper dive and really listen and take notice of this and literally replicate what they did. And they give some really, really great examples of some of the work that these brands did. Innocent Drinks, for example, in terms of building a really strong following that had a very, very engaged audience, was looking to engage the followers on a one-to-one basis. So being really personal, really, really engaged. If somebody shares your content, go and thank them. If they produce some content that actually, you know, references you, or that shares something or retweets something that you do, make sure you go back and give a credit. Go in and like. Go in and actually be part of the community, part of the audience. That's a really, really important thing. Don't think of your Twitter account as something in isolation. It's very important to think of yourself as part of a community. Another thing that they were talking about was very much thinking of best practice for lead generation. There's a lot of pressure right now on most brands to be thinking about increasing engagement as we come out of the recent sort of lockdown scenarios that we've all been in. There's a lot of pressure on particularly commercial organizations to be thinking about using social for lead generation and for business development. Twitter, yes, has an opportunity for doing that. You can use clear calls to action as part of your content mix, but do please use rule of thirds. Don't think that now is the opportunity to just, you know, begin to be selling, selling, selling. You have to use the rule of thirds. You can use it for lead generation, but remember that social media is as much about brand building in a patient sense. It is about short-term business development gains. So yes, using catchy copy, using, you know, this very, very clear single link to get people to do something is a very strong way of actually increasing the engagement through to pointing to content that actually then converts. It's very unlikely you're going to get a conversion within social generally, and most of us know that, but actually using social to move people into some kind of sales funnel or deeper into the customer journey is a really, really powerful way of keeping people engaged and keeping them flowing through. So yes, generation is in that mix, but it's only as part of an overall approach to brand building. And when you start to think about the kinds of content that you're going to be using, what are the kind of best practice for tweeting things like images? And you can also put video into this mix as well, because obviously, as we know now, video is very, very powerful in terms of the overall mix. One of the things is very much to think of the quality of the images that you use. So this isn't necessarily always high resolution, but think of storytelling. Come back to something that really looks at relevance, but really engages not only with the head but also with the heart. So think about the sensitivity, think about the authenticity of the images that you use, and make sure that the images are yours to use. Make sure you have either a license or that they are your images and your images alone. Do not go onto social media and do not go into the search engines and just use other people's images. Make sure you have licensing to use those images. And think about the storytelling. Think about maybe creating a pot of images that you're going to use over time. Consistency of color, consistency of length, if it's a video, consistency of style is really, really important. And there are some really great examples. They use Puma as a really, really good example of a sports brand. That have used, you know, consistently over time imagery in a very strong sense within their Twitter account activity. Now, when you start to tweet for the purposes of driving people to somewhere else, wherever you're using your tweets within the rule of thirds, there's some really interesting research, actually, which comes out of actually where you should place the link. Now, I have consistently got this wrong. And until I saw this research, I was, you know, consistently falling foul of this and assuming naively that I should always put links at the end of the tweet. In other words, read the tweet, pop the link at the end, and that's the call to action. Off somebody happily goes to the next point in the journey. Well, actually, HubSpot and Social Bro have confirmed that that isn't the best place to put it. So the best place to put a link to encourage click-throughs is actually to put the link in the middle of the tweet. So you say something to hook the person who's reading it in. Obviously, you back it up with your video or with your imagery. And then you say something sort of quite intriguing to sort of entice them to click the link. And then if they haven't necessarily clicked it, it's a little bit like a PS. If you were to write an email or to write a letter and you put a little postscript, that kind of PS, after you say with love from or yours sincerely, and then you just put, and this is a proven process in direct marketing, sort of printed direct mail, is to put the PS, and often that will then encourage people to go back and actually commit to the link. And I think that psychologically is probably what's happening here. So play with this. You know, don't necessarily think this is going to work, you know, per se for your activity. You probably will going to have to go back and have a little play with this, but explore it and see whether this also works for you. And of course, we can use link shortening service like Bitly, or if you're using something like Hootsuite or TweetDeck, that'll do it for you. But certainly you'll decrease the number of characters that you need to take up using the link that you have in there by using a short link or a link shortening service. So I'd strongly, again, recommend that you do that. But go away and have a little play and see kind of how that works for you. Now, the interesting thing, which I have mentioned a couple of times, is the idea of using hashtags to glue your tweets to other tweets in the conversation. Now, I know that we can all use hashtags within our status updates in the likes of LinkedIn and Facebook, and of course within Instagram and Snapchat. You know, they are, you know, very, very regularly and actively used. Instagram probably is the highest use of hashtags, but it all started within Twitter. Twitter was the founding social network for hashtags. It's where it all began. But there is some very, very clear best practice within Twitter for using hashtags that will get you the most engagement and the most click-throughs and the most impact. The best place to put your hashtags in Twitter is at the end of the tweet itself. Okay, so don't intersperse your tweets with hashtags within the run of all the flow of the copy. Again, it's something I failed at sort of so often, is you think, well, actually, you know, there's some good content there that which I could just load it with hashtags. it's if you do this in a very careful, clever way, you might get away with it and it might work. So again, practice and have a little play with it. But for most examples, putting some engaging little hook, giving the URL or the link or the call to action out is a good way. And then maybe backing up with another little kind of confirmation as to why people should engage, and then putting your hashtag content in at the end is probably going to be the most useful way of doing this. Now, one of the examples that HubSpot particularly, I know, are very, very keen, and they've blogged a lot about this, is to not try and just use trending topics to increase the reach of your tweets. Only use trending topics if they relate to the content that or the brand that you actually own. Okay, you potentially have, and I've got a lovely example of a brand that has actually now gone out of business, a big high street brand that literally lost it from the point of doing this so, so badly. They were never the same again. Was it all to do with Twitter? Probably not, but it was part of a whole kind of downturn for them as a brand. So I'll give you that example in a short while. But the trick here is it's always about transparency and authenticity. Always think, if I'm hooking or gluing my tweets in with tweets that are trending at the moment, is it the right thing to do? Am I tapping into an audience who are going to see my tweet as relevant? If they are, then it's probably the right thing to do. But if you're slightly hesitant, then probably the answer is a natural no. So again, explore it, play with it, see what happens, but be very, very careful not to be sort of disingenuous in terms of how you're using it. Now, of course, we can also use tweets in a less organic sense. We can also use tweets and actually use boosted tweets or Twitter cards or Twitter advertising. Go and have a little play with that. There are some sort of good practice guides that you can read about, and certainly Social Bro have done a lot of blogging over the years about this, so you can see some really good sort of examples of this. Do I use or advocate using paid advertising on Twitter? I guess the answer really relates to your target audience. If you're looking to get a quick hit, if you're looking to launch a product, if you're looking to boost the numbers coming to an event, then I would say probably a short burst of Twitter advertising if your community uses it. And if your community is highly engaged with Twitter, it might just take you, you know, to that next level. But if you are in what we might term an average kind of sector, if there ever is one, in terms of the use of Twitter, then I'd say probably organic content with a bit of patience is going to be more successful for you. But again, go away and practice, go away and have a little play. There are lots of good practice for making the most of this. So go and see how you sort of, you know, can create some best practice from this. Now, one of the questions often that we're asked at this stage, because obviously what we've seen so far is that, you know, we can create some good, strong tweets. We might do a little bit of paid advertising. We kind of know some of the best practice from the celebrities and the influencers about growing the accounts. But kind of why? I guess kind of that is the big question, is why would I be, or why should I be interested in using Twitter? Well, for me, the question comes all the way back full circle to thinking about your target persona and their interaction with you on their customer journey. And the question and the filter always as to whether or not Twitter is going to be right for you. And I'm not saying you have to do it. Okay, far from it. What I'm saying is that the best filter you can use to make the shall I, shan't I decision is to think about the customer journey. Is there a logical place on your target customer's journey for them to see Twitter as a place that will add value? So there are three phases, as we know, of the customer journey. So the first phase is, do you see Twitter as a place that will increase the awareness of your brand and the story and your products and services? Would Twitter have a part to play in increasing that awareness? In other words, are you going after new people using Twitter? Second question is, would you see Twitter as helping to convert people who are aware but are not yet customers of yours? In other words, a little bit deeper into the customer journey. Would you see them as you know, would you see Twitter as actually helping to build trust and faith that you're the right person to do business with? If the answer is yes, maybe it fits in that just pre-conversion phase. Or do you see Twitter at the retention phase? In other words, using Twitter to drip feed content as part of what we might term the loyalty loop, so that they can actually see you drip feeding stuff about your business. Of course, rule of thirds always applies, but drip feeding added value content. So they already know who you are. You've already converted them into a customer, and you're using it much like a sort of a frequent sort of newsletter, if you like, or a frequent social network that is used in a sort of a newsletter style to drip feed information to them. Now, your choice of where you put Twitter in this journey is fundamental in terms of the kinds of content then that you will put out into Twitter. Because if it's at the awareness phase, it's all about educating. It's all about helping that reader to understand who you are, what you're about, and build faith with them, that you're worth following and worth keeping in contact with. If it's the conversion phase, it's all about building trust. So the tone of voice and the types of content will be subtly different to the awareness phase. And of course, if it's at the retention phase, you don't have to do the education or the conversion bit and the trust building because they've already committed to you. So then it's all about trying to encourage advocacy, trying to encourage sharing, and very much feeling that they're part of a community and using Twitter to kind of maybe build that community in line with other social networks. So before jumping in and saying, okay, we're going to do some tests on Twitter, figure out where you feel to start this journey, because you might decide you're going to move it in the future, or you might decide you're going to test it at one of these points first. But that's the key thing. Figure out where you are going to put it before you begin to do those things that HubSpot and Social Bro have talked about. Because if you do it that way, there's a much stronger chance you're going to be well positioned to understand whether or not it's ticking the boxes of the job that you've set it. Here's a little example, just to kind of round things off here, of poor practice. This was Habitat, the brand that was ever present for many decades on our high streets. And they did this sort of unauthentic use of hashtags, which had absolutely nothing to do with their products or their brands, to just increase the coverage of each of the tweets that they did. This brand no longer exists on the high street in the form that it did. So, you know, tread carefully out there. It is all about authenticity. It's about sharing from the heart the story that you have to tell as a brand, but it's about doing it in a very mindful, conscious way. So let's sum up what we mean here by Twitter best practice. It's all about using the rule of thirds. Wherever you decide to put Twitter in your customer's journey, and that is your first starting point, is to understand how you're going to use it. Decide that this is not about monologues, it's about conversations. So think about using the rule of thirds to do that. Begin with listening, not speaking. So before you start jumping in and testing out all those different formats of how to use Twitter, think about listening. Use MentionMap to tap into the communities that you're interested in. That's really important. And if you want to show, I'm not saying that, I do rule of thirds all the time. Sometimes I fail terribly. My idea, and sometimes I don't listen to my own advice, but if you want to connect and if you want to sort of share, we can share backwards and forwards. It'd be great to connect with your brand or you personally. So let's connect with me at Neil Wilkins X. So you'll find me sort of very, very easily there. So I hope that's given you a few little ideas about getting some value from Twitter. And as we've been going through this, I've had quite a few little questions come through. So I wanted to get to those because I think these will add a lot of value to this conversation. So the first question I've had is, where do I find Twitter analytics? So if you're using anything like Social Bro or HubSpot or Hootsuite or TweetDeck, you will have some level of insights that you can probably already tap into if you log in with your Twitter account. If you're not using those and you're using Twitter.com, if you go to analytics.twitter.com, then you'll find some very, very sort of good and very deep insights into almost to the level of individual tweets. You'll get a really good insight as to what's going on. So I would strongly recommend, if you're looking at this to kind of understand how your account is performing before you start scaling it up, is literally bookmark analytics.twitter.com, because that will be the place that you're going to be doing a lot of your listening through. Another question was, do you recommend Twitter lists? You didn't mention them. So yes, I absolutely do recommend Twitter lists. Again, if you Google Twitter lists, you can find some really good best practice on how you create a list. A list on Twitter is a really interesting one, because what it allows you to do, if you're following a lot of people, trying to see a lot of people's accounts on Twitter, if you're looking at their timeline, you'll see a lot of noise, you know, as we know with Facebook and LinkedIn, all the accounts now, your timeline just moves, your homepage just moves so quickly. Lists allows you to put a smaller number of people into a list. It's almost like bookmarking them. And then if you look at that list, you'll see just those accounts. You can do lists in stealth or private. So you could, for example, put all of your competitors into a list and mark it private. Only you will know that list exists. So again, you could use that for some competitor research, or you could put all of your favorite celebrities into a list, make it public. Maybe you'll even get spotted, and maybe you'll even get a mention. You can, of course, if you want to put people you want to engage with into a list and make it public, you might decide you're going to use that to showcase people. And of course, with the point third, you're always going to be on the lookout for content you can retweet. So that can be a nice way of keeping in touch with content that you might want to share. Next question was, we use Facebook and LinkedIn. Should we try Twitter as we have limited resources? Well, that's a really interesting one. I guess the big question there is, if you feel your target audience is already in Twitter, I'd say go and play and go and listen before you start properly publishing to it. If you've got very limited time and resources, keep it a very light touch. Just go and do a little bit of research, maybe take an hour or two, and just go and see if you can find some known customers first. If the answer is yes, might be worth spending a little bit of time doing deeper listening. If the answer is no, then I'd probably suggest you just park it for now and wait until such times as maybe resources get freed up. And the final question, which I'm going to answer with, is what's the easiest and fastest way to grow a big following? Well, I guess we all want sort of quick wins, don't we? And that's a nice question, actually, because everybody is obviously on the lookout for these, millions and millions of followers. Wouldn't we all like that? It comes back to patience. I think if you are looking for a quick fix, probably Twitter isn't for you. There is no easy, fast way. It is about playing the waiting game, playing the patient game. And you can grow a big following. It's about adding value. If you want to get onto somebody's radar who you want to follow, and I particularly say this when it comes to micro-influencers in your industry or any journalists who are going to be looking for good stories, is to follow them and be a good Twitter resident for them. So share their content, like their content, comment on their content, so retweet them a lot. That will grow relevant following. I don't think, don't go after the numbers, that's vanity metrics. Grow a good high quality following, and I would suggest, you know, playing that patience game will mean that you get quality, hopefully as well as quantity. So those are the questions we've got time for. If you have any other questions, there were sort of two or three which we're not going to get a chance to cover today, but you'll see these in the message thread below this when you watch this on catch up. So if you have any specific other Twitter questions that you'd like me or anybody else to answer, please do put those in the message thread at the bottom of the webinar recording. It's a big old topic, but hopefully I've given you quite a few little pointers as to things that you can cover. Do track down that HubSpot and Social Bro research, because it's very, very valuable in terms of giving you a starting point to start to begin to test things out. But do always remember, rule of thirds, once you've established where Twitter might fit in your customer journey, rule of thirds is probably the most effective way you can start to get some initial traction. So thanks ever so much for attending today. If you're watching this on catch up, use the message thread. If you're not, thank you very much for coming along to the live session. It's been great talking through Twitter. For business, I don't think it's going anywhere. I think Twitter has a huge value that it can play. It's just about figuring out what value it brings to you. So good luck with your journey, and I look forward to sharing more content with you on a Twitter or other webinar with you very, very soon. Thanks for coming, and I'll speak to you again very soon.